प्रजानां य आश्रमाः अन्तस्त्रिलोक्यास्त्वपरो गृहमेधो अबृहद्व्रतः पादास्त्रयो बहिश्चासन् अप्रजानां य आश्रमाः अन्तस्त्रिलोक्यास्त्वपरो गृहमेधो अबृहद्व्रतः पादास्त्रयो बहिश्चासन् अप्रजानां याश्रमाः अन्तस्त्रिलोक्यास्त्वपरो गृहमेधो अबृहद्व्रतः पादात्रयः. The cosmos of three-fourths of Lord's energy. Bahihi, thus being situated. Cha, and for all. Asan, var. Aprajanam, of those who are not meant for birth. Ye, those. Ashramah, status of life. Antah, within. Trilokyah, of the three worlds. Tu, but. Aparaha, others. Grihamedhah, attached to family life. Abrihadvratah, without strictly following a vow of celibacy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The spiritual world, which consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is specially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the three material worlds. Purport. The climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditioned life of material existence continues birth after birth. Human civilization in which there is no control of sex life is a fourth class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul engaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age and disease are related to the material body and they have nothing to do with the spirit soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the law of deterioration. In order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy beginning from the order of brahmachari. The brahmachari life for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have had no taste of sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy. And once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of three-fourths energy of the Lord. It is already explained that in the cosmos of three-fourths energy of the Lord, there is neither death nor fear, and one is full of blissful life of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of life of a brahmachari. A householder is recommended to quit home at the age of 50 years, pancha shurdham vanam vrajet, and live a life in the forest. And then, being fully detached from family affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. The principles of Nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process in the highest degree is recommended here in Srimad Bhagavatam, with clear perception of the ideal perfection. Although basically there is no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites and Vaishnavas. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allow the follower to break the vow of celibacy. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter the kingdom of deathlessness. The pious householders or the fallen yogis or the fallen transcendentalists can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world, one-fourth of the energy of the Lord. But they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. A Brihad Vrataha are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The Vanprasthas are those retired from family life, and the sannyasis who are renounced persons cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The brahmacharis, vanprasthas and sannyasis do not intend to take rebirth, a praja, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex life. Such a fall down by spiritualist may be compensated by another chance for human life in good families of learned brahmanas or of rich merchants for another term of elevation. But the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. Otherwise, the whole policy of human life will prove to be a total failure. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in advising his followers in this matter of celibacy. One of his personal attendants, Chota Haridas, was severely punished by Lord Chaitanya because of his failure to observe the vow of celibacy. For a transcendentalist, therefore, who at all wants to be promoted to the kingdom beyond material miseries, it is worse than suicide to deliberately indulge in sex life, especially in the renounced order of life. Sex life in the renounced order of life is the most perverted form of religious life, and such a misguided person can only be saved if by chance he meets a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, so welcome everyone to our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, seeking blessings from all the devotees so that I can speak something for my own purification. So this is a section going on in which Narad Muni has asked Brahmaji 6 questions. And in the last chapter, Brahmaji explained 3 of them. So Narad Muni had asked, Yad Rupam, Yad Dishthanam, Yata Srishtam, Idam Prabho, Yat Samstham Param Yatcha, Tat Tattvam Vad Tattvataha. Please tell me about the truth of this universe, its characteristics, its shelter, by what ingredients it is created, in what it merges at destruction, and upon what it depends, and what is it made up of. So then after asking these questions, Narad Muni expresses his doubts and convictions about Brahmaji. He says, I think you are the supreme. You create, you maintain, you destroy by your own power. But Brahmaji, as a very, very authentic, bona fide acharya, he refuses. He didn't say, yes, sahi pahchana, you know, I am the only one. He says, no, I am just recreating whatever is already created by the Supreme Lord. And then he answers the first 3 questions. And then in this chapter, 6th chapter, he is answering yatcha. What is this universe composed of? And in this previous section, he described how Lord is the material and the efficient cause of this universe. He provides everything of this universe. And then after describing this, now Brahmaji, in this section from 18 to 22nd verses, he is saying, Lord is not just the creator of this world and controller of this world, He is the controller of the spiritual world also. And then he describes the Ek Pada Vibhuti and Tri Pada Vibhuti. This material world is 1/4 of the cosmic manifestation, of the entire manifestation. And spiritual world is 3/4. And in the previous verse, Brahmaji described the qualities of the spiritual world. Amritam, Shemam, Abhayam. Desirelessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. They exist in the spiritual world. And now in this verse, Brahmaji is describing what is the qualification to go back to the spiritual world. Very, very interesting and important description is there. And Srila Prabhupada describes in great detail about the qualifications and how we can go back to the spiritual world. So he says, spiritual world is meant for aprajanam, those who are not meant for birth, rebirth. And material world is meant for those who are grihamedhis and abrihadvratah, those who are attached to family life and those who do not follow the vows of celibacy. So, you know, a few days back, Balram Shakti Prabhu was also giving a class and he was describing how this chapter is entitled Purush Sukta Confirmed. Many verses in this chapter, they match with the verses of Purush Sukta. And this verse also matches with one of the verses of Purush Sukta. The Purush Sukta verse says, Tripada Urdhva Udayit Purusha Pado Asye Abhavat Punaha. Tripada Urdhva. So in this spiritual world, which is Tripada, 3/4, Udayit Purushaha, the liberated souls exist. And Pado Asya, in this material world, which is Ek Pad, who stays, Abhavat Punaha, those who again take birth. So similar, almost similar verse is given in this description. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Saevayam Mayatyadya Yoga Prukta Puratana Bhakto Sime Sakhacheti Rahasyam Hietad Uttamam. So in that Krishna is saying, why I am giving you this knowledge? What is your qualification? Because you are my devotee and you are my friend. Everything we do requires some qualification. Adhikar. If somebody is traveling by train and a TC comes and asks for a ticket, he cannot say, I am an engineer. So what? Please show a ticket. I am doing LLB also. I am doing MB also. So what? Please show your ticket. Traveler requires a ticket. Does not matter what is the degree. Similarly, if somebody is very expert in Sanskrit, that does not make him qualified to understand Bhagavad Gita. We have many scholars of Sanskrit in the world, but not everyone can understand Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. There are PhDs in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but that does not make them qualified to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody may know English, but he cannot claim that I can understand some very high levels of mathematics and physics, quantum physics. And somebody may be expert in doing tapasya. Somebody may be doing nirjal every now and then or following Ekadashi. But if he does not have the right mood, that does not make him qualified to understand scriptures. If he is not in a mood to offer everything to the Supreme Lord, he will not be qualified to understand. Tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vido sumangalah shemam navindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Whoever you may be, great tapasvi, great charitable person, very famous, expert in chanting mantras, shemam navindanti, you will not experience any auspiciousness in your life unless vinaya darpanam. If you are not offering to Supreme Lord. So, what is the qualification to go back to the spiritual world? It is described very clearly in this verse. Rukmini Mataji, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, she gave class here a few days back. She was telling a story which Prabhupada told. One time Prabhupada was telling that there was a interview going on and the man, interviewer, was sitting with his assistant and two people, they had to be interviewed. So first person came, he sat down, he had all the qualifications for the job. And this person, he asked many questions, he answered everything very nicely. And as he was leaving, he left without closing the door. And the second person came, he had practically no qualifications for the job. And then as he was leaving, he closed the door properly and left. So the interviewer asked his assistant, so who do you think will get the job? So the assistant said, oh, of course, the man with all the qualifications, he will get the job. The interviewer said, no, the man who has no qualifications will get the job. Assistant was surprised. Why? Why is it so? The person said, because he closed the door behind him. We can train him. We will be able to work with him. Other man with all the qualifications, he was not observant. We will not be able to work with him. So it does not mean one should have no material qualifications, but the attitude is more important. If the person has a submissive attitude to learn and to surrender, that is a better qualification. That is the higher qualification to get any job, and for that matter, going to the spiritual world, it is the most important qualification needed to have a right attitude, to be submissive to the will of the Lord and to the will of the devotees. Saratya parashada sevana sakcha dautya virasana nugamana stavana pranaman snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnu bhaktim karoti nipatis charanarvinde. Sudh Goswami is describing the qualifications of Pandavas. Krishna was ready to become their sarathi, parshada, sevaka, messenger, everything for them. Why? Snigdheshu. They were very snigdha. Prabhupada writes, translation, they were malleable. They were malleable to the will of the Lord. They were submissive to the will of the Lord. That's why Lord was ready to do anything for them. Lord could mold these Pandavas according to His desires. That qualifies a person to practice bhakti. If we are in that mood of submissiveness and humility, that is the very important qualification which attracts the mercy of the Lord. If somebody thinks, no, I think I'm qualified for it. As we have heard the story many times, one devotee asked Prabhupada, what was our qualification that we came to Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. So a devotee should always have this very, very strong and perfect understanding that I have no qualification. I had no other qualification but the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Because that is the only one thing which qualifies a person. Athapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasadalesha nugrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno na chanyaye kopi chiram vichinvan. Unless one gets a drop of the mercy, prasadalesha anugraha. Unless one gets the drop of mercy of the Lord, however qualified, however scholar one may be, janati tattvam, na janati, they can never understand. So that is very, very important. In the story of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, when Mahaprabhu wanted to show mercy to him, till the time Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya didn't submit himself, that now you please explain. I am trying to explain this Vedanta for 7 days and you are not saying yes, not saying no, you are not showing any expression. Are you understanding anything? Mahaprabhu said, I understand Vedanta, but I can't understand whatever you are saying. It is like a noonday sun and your explanation is like a cloud. So then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he asked, so please you explain. And then Mahaprabhu, he explained Vedanta. And then he transformed this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to such an extent that he became such a empowered great devotee, very humble. Earlier he was thinking, I will make this sannyasi strong. Nirantar iha ke Vedanta shunaiva, vairagya dvaita marge pravesha karaiva. He was thinking, I will make him understand Vedanta. And that will make his sannyas vows very strong. And then after hearing all this explanation from Mahaprabhu, after getting his mercy, then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, I am very grateful because you transformed me. Gopinath Acharya says, Shushka tarka khali khaite janma gilajar, tare lila amrit piyao ei kripa tomar. Oh Mahaprabhu, this is your mercy. This Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, whole life he has eaten dry cakes of logic with no rasa in it. You have made him taste the nectar of Harikatha. So that is how we have to always be aware of whatever we have. It is by the mercy of the Lord. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, it will come in future. And in the third canto also, when Brahmaji, he, in the beginning of the creation, he is confused what to do. He hears tapa, tapa, he does tapasya, Lord appears, he offers prayers. Lord tells Brahmaji, do you know who spoke those words, tapa, tapa? He said, I spoke, Lord is saying. Who gave you faith to believe in those words? I gave. Who gave you strength to do tapasya? I gave. And now I have appeared and you are offering prayers. Who is giving you words and intelligence to offer prayers? I am giving. Makchakarthartha matstotram matkathabhyudayankitam yadva tapasite nishtha saesha te anugrah mad anugraha. Everything is by my mercy. So one should never have any confusion that I deserve this process of Krishna consciousness. Only one qualification needed. As it is described, aprajanam, to become aprajanam, it is a big endeavor. And somebody should not think, sab kuch to Bhagwan ki kripa hai, so why should I endeavor? Prabhupada writes a very interesting line. Voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. On one side, mercy is always required. Other side, Prabhupada is writing, voluntary endeavor is only qualification. So there, unless we don't endeavor, Krishna will never show mercy. That is Damodar Leela. You know, as Satyavrat Muni is saying, Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtya. Oh my Lord, I am drowning in this ocean of miseries, please protect me, I am depending on you for mercy. Prasida Prabho, please be merciful on me, O my Lord. Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam, I am drowning in this ocean of misery. Kripa Drishti. So this mood of humility and expressing our fallen condition is the only thing which attracts mercy of the Lord. If we are submissive, and if we are ready to, you know, follow the instructions and be humble, that attracts mercy of the Lord. Rupa Sanatan Goswami, when they approach the Lord and they express their fallen condition, Nicha Jati, Nicha Sangi, Kori Nicha Kaj, Tomaro Agrete, Prabhu Kahite Vasilaj. We are serving malechas, we have become malechas, we are ashamed to stand in front of you. But why we have come here? What makes us stand in front of you? Because you have delivered Jagai Madhai. And you are Patita Pavan. Patita Pavan Hetu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Napai Bear. So Rupa Sanatan is saying, you are most merciful and you delivered Jagai Madhai. We are more fallen than Jagai Madhai. Jagai Madhai Hoite Koti Koti Gun. They are saying Jagai Madhai had millions of good qualities. What qualities they had? Brahman Jati, Navadipe Ghar, Neech Seva Nahi Kare. They were born Brahmanas. They had house in Navadip. They never served Malichas. And who are we? Malicha Jati, Malicha Sevi, Kori Malicha Karma, Go Brahman Drohi Sange Amara Sangama. We are Malicha Jati, we are serving them. And we are just associating with those who are killers of cows and brahmanas. So therefore, please show mercy. So Mahaprabhu, when he heard this wonderful humility and expression of such surrender, Mahaprabhu says, please give up your humility, O Dabirkhas. They were Dabirkhas, Sakar Malik. Shune Mahaprabhu kahe, Shuna Dabirkhas. Tumar doi bhai more sanatana das. You are my eternal associates. Today I initiate you as Roop and Sanatan. And then Mahaprabhu speaks a very important verse. He says, you know, why I have come here? What attracted me? Because Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. He changed his way and came to Ramkeli. There was no purpose coming to Ramkeli. Dainya patri likhi more pathale bar bar. Sei patri dwara jani tomara vyavahar. Because you expressed your humility again and again. Bar bar. Not just once. Again and again you expressed your humility. That attracted me. That attracted the Lord to change his way from Vrindavan to Ramakeli. So that is the only qualification needed. To be submissive. It attracts the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Tamal Krishna Maharaj recalls that one time Prabhupada was speaking to some Indian people, and one of the people, he was saying, Swamiji, your disciples, they don't pronounce Sanskrit properly. Prabhupada was very, very defensive. He would always protect his devotees, his disciples. Prabhupada said, where does it say that one must be able to read Sanskrit to go back to the spiritual world? Where does it say? Prabhupada was very strong. Prabhupada said, my disciples may be disqualified in so many ways, but they have one qualification. Whatever I tell them, they do. They have full faith in whatever I say. That is their qualification. And Prabhupada said, I know that they often make mistakes in etiquettes. It's like in the, you know, one of his diaries, Mukunda Maharaj writes in the beginning days, you know, Mukunda Maharaj, he had just started coming to Krishna consciousness, he became a little more aware, he started chanting, and he started serving also Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada, one time he ate dates, and he just, you know, bit of, little part of that date and gave to Mukunda Maharaj. That time, he was a, you know, a young boy. So Mukunda Maharaj, he didn't know what to do because he has tasted it. His saliva is there, but out of etiquette, he ate that and still there was another portion remaining. He again gave back to Prabhupada. So that was the, you know, people Prabhupada was dealing with, but Prabhupada didn't feel offended because Prabhupada knew that they often make mistakes in terms of etiquettes. But whatever I tell them, they do. That is their qualification. So one may be having so many deficiencies in terms of etiquettes. But if somebody is submissive to learn, that is the qualification. Otherwise, if after coming to spiritual life, spending few years, if somebody develops an attitude that other people say, ab inko kaun bolega? Who will tell this person? He never listens. Then it is very difficult to advance. So, our qualification is when we are submissive and depend on the Lord and depend on the devotees and ready to be rectified. And Srila Prabhupada writes that in this journey, there is lots of struggle. Prabhupada writes, the climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma is expressed. He describes the four Varnas, how every Varna performs his duty nicely, ultimately to attain the highest goal. But the journey to become aprajanam is not very easy. It is full of struggles. In the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, he is fighting with yakshas because his brother was killed by one of the yaksha, brother Uttam. Dhruva became very angry. He wanted to take revenge and he charges to fight this all these yakshas. He attacks the city of Alkapuri alone with only chariot and chariot driver. Only two people. And the fight between Dhruva and Yakshas is full of wonderful instructive lessons for a sadhaka. So as Dhruva, he enters the city of Alkapuri, he blows his conch very, very loudly. And all the wives of Yakshas, they became very fearful. They realized that somebody has come. The Yakshas could not tolerate this. They came and they also attacked Dhruva. So all these Yakshas, they shot 6 arrows each. And there were 1,30,000 Yakshas. They all are attacking one person, Dhruva. Each one is shooting 6 arrows. How many arrows are coming at Dhruva? 7,80,000 arrows are coming at Dhruva. And it is described that it seemed Dhruva is completely covered with the rains of these arrows, shower of these arrows. Dhruva is like a mountain and the mountain is covered by the rains of these arrows. But what happens when the mountain is showered by rains? Nothing happens to the mountain. Only one thing happens. Mountains get cleansed off. So Dhruva, when he saw all these arrows coming towards him, he gave up whatever lethargy he had in fighting and he started fighting with full vigor, full power. So when a devotee is faced with anarthas and setbacks in his life, the quality of a devotee is the devotee never thinks, now I'll give up. Devotee never gives up. He starts fighting with all the more vigor and strength. Interesting thing happened. As Dhruva is covered by the rains of arrows, all the sages in the upper planets, they are watching. They are very concerned. And as they see this situation, they start shouting, Oh, it seems the grandson of Manu is now lost. They started praying for Dhruva. Prabhupada writes a very, very wonderful purport. He says, Rupa Goswami says that not only a devotee is well protected by Supreme Lord, but all the devatas and even ordinary men are anxious for his security and safety. So a devotee in his struggles with material nature, Maya Devi, should never think, I am alone, koi bhi nahi hai. They are always, we are always protected by the prayers of devotees. Just because we are here, still practicing, we should know that there are many devotees praying for us. And that is the faith we should have. Etam sahasthaya paratmanishtha adhyasitam purvatamai maharshibhi. Aham tarishyami duranta param tamo mukundangri nisheva yeva. That is the faith a devotee should have. Paratmanishtha. The devotee has faith in the Supreme Lord and he has faith in the path given by previous acharyas. Adhyasitam purvatamai maharshibhi. The path which is given by the acharyas, I will fearlessly tread on that path. And what will happen? Aham tarishyami, I will very easily cross this ocean of material existence. So the sun never sets. Nothing happens to the sun. So Dhruva is like the sun. It seemed that the sun of Dhruva is set in the ocean of yakshas. But nothing happens to the sun. Prabhupada writes, he might have been difficulty, but that did not mean he was defeated. So a devotee sometimes may seem to be losing the battle. Even Krishna sometimes seemed to be losing the battle. It happened many times. Krishna does it to create some suspense and to create some more, you know, attractive, this to make the pastime more attractive. As Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya, he is, it seems that he is losing. And when Varahadev is fighting with Hiranyaksha, at one point of time, Varahadev's club fell from his hand. It is all to create more suspense in the story. One should never think that Krishna is losing and devotee is losing. Devotee can never lose the battle. He may lose few battles, but he'll win the war. For sure. Madhyamanopi madbhakto vishayaira jitendriyah prayah pragalbhaya bhaktya vishayairna abhibhuyate. Krishna knows our battles. It is not that Krishna ko malum hai kya hamare jeevan mein kya chal raha hai. He is fully aware. He is telling to Uddhava in the 11th canto, my devotee, vichara, madhyamano, he is bound. Ajitendriya, cannot control his senses. He is struggling. Prayah pragalbhaya bhaktya. He never ever gives up. Pragalbha means intense bhakti. The devotee has this firm conviction. I'll fall down hundreds of times. Still, I'll get up and fight again. I'll not give up fighting. So that's how all the arrows which Dhruva is facing, they are the arrows which we also face, arrows thrown by Maya Devi. And sometimes it seems that we are losing the battle. But the soul never loses its glory and a devotee never loses the chance to practice Krishna consciousness. Only one thing is required, to continue with faith and conviction that Vishayair na bhi bhuyate. Krishna is saying in the ultimate end, my devotee will win the war. He may lose some battles, but he will win the war in the ultimate end. So therefore, we have to just keep on practicing sincerely. Gokula Ranjan Prabhu, one of the Prabhupada disciples, he recalls. One time Prabhupada was at the airport waiting for his flight and one of the disciples, Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, not our one Prabhupada disciple, he was singing a very beautiful bhajan and Prabhupada had also sung this bhajan earlier. So Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, he was making all the intonations and every syllable exactly like Prabhupada sang it. And Prabhupada was hearing with his eyes closed. So after this devotee completed this bhajan, Prabhupada, he called this devotee and he said, very interestingly, he said, you listen very well. Prabhupada didn't say, you chant very well. Prabhupada said, you listen very well. And he said, that was the qualification my spiritual master also noted in me. He listens nicely. He likes to hear. I'll initiate him. So if the devotee is struggling and sincere enough, then for sure, vishayair na bibhuyate. So now, yakshas, they didn't give up. Although Dhruva, he immediately came out of this showers of the arrows, yakshas, they again started fighting vigorously, shooting arrows and doing so many different things. But Dhruva, he started shooting his arrows. It is described, Dhruva's bows and arrows twanged and hissed. It was like arrows coming incessantly from the bow of Dhruva. And it scattered all the weapons of the yakshas, just like the wind scatters the clouds. It doesn't take anything for the wind to scatter the clouds. So similarly for Dhruva, it was not a big deal to destroy and scatter all the arrows of these yakshas. Still. And then he started shooting all the arrows very fiercely. And the entire battlefield was covered with the limbs and the ornaments of yakshas. There were heads with the earrings and turbans and the helmet fallen. There were legs and arms decorated with bracelets and armlets. It was a sight to behold. The entire war field was covered with blood. And whatever remaining yakshas were there, they ran away out of fear. But now, what Dhruva did, it is very instructive. He didn't have this overconfidence, now I have won the war. He turned to his assistant, his driver, and he said, no one knows the plans of the mystic yakshas. So, Dhruva, he is described as very intelligent. Shukdeva Goswami, Maitreya Muni says, he was very intelligent. He didn't just conclude that, okay, now I am won. I have won the war. No. A devotee is very intelligent. And what type of intelligence devotee has? It will come in the future description of this when Dhruva, he shoots all the arrows and he kills yakshas, many yakshas. Kuvera comes and he is pleased because Dhruva stopped fighting. And he says, I want to give you a benediction. Now, what benediction Kuver asks describes how intelligent he is. Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamati. Mahabhagavat and Mahamati. Because Dhruva is Mahabhagavat and he is Mahamati, very intelligent, what did he ask? Harau savavre achalitam smritim yayau taratyayatnena duratyayam tamaha. Please give me undeterred remembrance of the Supreme Lord. That is the intelligence devotee always has. He never thinks, I should ask for the material things of the world. Because that's what intelligent people do in this world. No. Devotee knows what to ask when. So then, as he is thinking like this, all the yakshas, they started creating illusions. And within few moments, Dhruva, he starts hearing the sound of the ocean. He sees a dust of storm raising in the sky. The entire sky gets covered with dense clouds. There is incessant downpour of weapons. The arrows, clubs, and it is raining, not water, pus, blood, mucus, it is all raining. He sees in the sky all the fierce animals, elephants, lion, tiger, snakes, huge serpents, throwing fire from their mouth, coming to devour him. And Dhruva, seeing all this, he becomes bewildered. After practice of Krishna consciousness for many years, Just like Dhruva is a very seasoned devotee, he is a pure devotee, he has taken darshan of the Lord, Lord has blessed him, but still he got bewildered in this situation. Even after practicing bhakti for many, many years, sometimes Maya Devi creates the clouds of anarthas. All the illusory anarthas, they come up. And the devotee may get bewildered. So a devotee should never trust the illusions created by the mind. Because most of the illusions created by the mind are never going to happen. So in that situation, what to do? So that this is going to happen here. This is what is happening here. As Dhruva is really bewildered, what to do now? All the great sages are still actively seeing this war. And out of their own, Dhruva didn't call them. But because Dhruva, he has lived a life of service to the devotees and the great sages, on their own they came and they are instructing Dhruva. So what are they instructing Dhruva? This is a very, very interesting and very important lesson which the devotees, they always give when we are in difficulty. So all the sages, they come and say, Auttana pada bhagavam stava saranga dhanava deva shinotyavanatarti haro vipakshan yannamadheyam abhidhaya nishamya chadha loko anjasatarati dustaramanga mrityum. Auttana pad, O son of Uttana pad, saranga dhanava, please take shelter of the wielder of saranga bow, Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is known as Avanat Arati Hara. Whoever takes shelter of Supreme Lord, he relieves them of distress. So how to take shelter? Yannamadheyam abhidhaya, please chant the names of the Lord. That is the only instruction which devotees give us. Along with some practical tips the devotee may give. But the most important instruction which a devotee gives is taking shelter of the Lord through chanting of the names of the Lord. And hearing this, Dhruva, he understood. He invoked this Narayanastra by chanting the mantra. And he destroyed all the illusions. And ultimately, he conquered over. So that is how to become a Prajanam. It is not an easy battle. But if we depend on the Lord's mercy, if we depend on the mercy of the devotees, then for sure, Vishayair na abhibhuyate. We will be victorious in the ultimate end. I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.